This morning's text of Scripture is Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my fellow, declares Jehovah Almighty. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perish, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. 14 times in chapters 12 through 14, we find the phrase, on that day. There can be no question as to which day the prophet was speaking of. For the Lord himself revealed it. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, we read, Then said Jesus unto them, All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Zechariah's prophecy refers to none other day than that day in which the Lord God made the soul of Jesus Christ to be an offering for sin, when justice exacted the awful penalty of our sin from the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things are associated with that day. First, the suffering of the Savior. Second, the scattering of the sheep. And thirdly, the purifying of the church. Now, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus is holy ground, so we must never treat it as common ground. We must never approach it merely as an intellectual study. It is the most momentous event in history. All of God's purpose hinges on this event. In the book of the Revelation, it was as the lamb slain that Jesus had the right as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to take from the hand of God the book sealed with seven seals and open it. Furthermore, our eternal salvation is founded upon this work. No cross, no salvation. No bloodshed, no forgiveness of sin. There is no ground holier, no scene more awesome, no event more telling of the glory of the living God than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is a work of God, you know. The one who says he will smite the sheep identifies himself as Jehovah Almighty. To the eye of the flesh, Christ's crucifixion may appear to be the work of the Jews and the Romans, but actually, it was God's work. God did it. It was according to his purpose. It is written in Isaiah 53:10, It pleased Jehovah to crush him. The crucifixion of Christ was a work of God's justice. O sword, it is written, awake, O sword, says Zechariah. Psalm 145, verse 17 says, The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. There is nothing that Jehovah does that is not righteous and holy. What Christ did on Calvary was done so that God could justly save his people. Before God could do anything for us, he had to do something for himself. Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26 says, God has set forth Jesus Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his justice for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his justice, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. God put it this way in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21, There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none else beside me. Here is the hallmark of the gospel of God, justice. There are gods invented by men who are just, and there are gods invented by men who are merciful. But Jehovah alone has designed a method in which justice is fully magnified and mercy given free rein. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a glory to God. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a work of the Lord's will and pleasure. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief." And this work was a work against Jesus Christ. All that God did to redeem his people, he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the substitute for God's people. All that God would have done to his people because of their sin, he did to his son instead. Just who is Jesus Christ that God could set him up as a sacrifice of atonement for sinners? Well, he is the man Christ Jesus. Only a man can substitute for men, and what a man he is. And let us realize and emphasize that he still is a man. Never a man spoke like Christ. Never a man lived like Christ. Never a man loved both God and men like Christ. Never a man worshiped like Christ. Never a man worked like Christ. Never a man helped like Christ. He was and is the Father's delight. Of all the men who have ever lived, he is the only one who deserved good from God, the only one who gave to God and could have expected some recompense in return, the only one who deserved glory, honor, and praise because of how he lived. Yet, what does he receive? "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." Jesus Christ is the God-man. God calls this shepherd the man who is my fellow, the man who is close to me. Christ is close to God in desire and will. He said, "It is my food to do the will of him who sent me." Christ is close to God in character. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Christ is close to God in nature. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." In John chapter 14, verse 9, Christ says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." And in John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, "I and my Father are one." Now this is the essential meaning of the text, "the man who is my fellow." The word "fellow" means associate, companion, a peer, an equal. It is declaring that Jesus Christ is both God and man. God rose up against himself in his Son in order to be just in saving his people. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. "The Lord is my shepherd," wrote David, and that Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. The shepherds of Israel had proven false, so God chose a shepherd, his shepherd, and struck him down. How odd do the ways of God seem to us, but their apparent oddity is simply because God's ways are higher than our ways. As the shepherd, Jesus Christ knows his sheep, he loves his sheep, and he has laid down his life for his sheep. Well, then we read that the sheep are scattered. The sheep mentioned in Zechariah are the disciples of the Lord Jesus, all of whom forsook him and fled when he was arrested. Without a shepherd, sheep scattered. Oh, how we need our shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Yet, according to Christ, it was necessary that we be deprived of him for a while, that we might receive him forever. Then we read something that sounds quite strange. Zechariah writes, "The Lord's hand is turned against the little ones." The little ones are the descendants of those to whom Zechariah wrote, the Jews of the Lord's day. Because of the Jews' rejection of Christ, God brought judgment on them. Now the purpose of this judgment was to reveal the remnant according to the election of grace. Observe that there is only a remnant, and even they go through the trial. But the purpose of the trial is different for the remnant than it is for the common stock. You see, God brings trouble to goats to drive them away or to destroy them. He brings trouble to the sheep to draw them near. He sends goats into trouble, but brings his sheep into it. As the three Hebrew children were not alone in the fire of the furnace, so the Lord's people are never alone in their troubles. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 5 says this, "But now thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you." Now the sheep are revealed in this. They call him their God, even in their time of trouble. We could say especially in times of trouble. Zechariah's prophecy says, "They shall call on my name, and they shall say, 'The Lord is my God.'" I do not know of any time when the psalmist was in trouble that he pled to the Lord on the basis that he was one of God's people. Rather, he always pled to the Lord that the Lord was his God. God calls them his people through the gospel. It is written, "I will say, it is my people." As God tries his people in order to prove and purify them, he speaks the word of comfort to them through the gospel. It is as we listen to or think upon the gospel that the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God, and we are moved to cry, "Abba, Father." How awesome are God's ways. He smites the shepherd and scatters the sheep and turns his hand against the little ones, and in so doing, saves his people with an everlasting salvation. Until next week, the grace of the Lord be with you.